This is First and Felony, the true crime podcast where we explore the crimes committed by athletes. This episode is going to be a little different. We're going to cover a couple of stories that have been in the news recently. Following his retrial, Oscar Pistorius will face 6 years in prison after the South African Supreme Court of Appeals overturned Judge Thokozile Masipa's original verdict of culpable homicide. The minimum sentence for murder is 15 years, but Judge Masipa believes Pistorius is genuinely remorseful and believes he is a good candidate for rehabilitation. Pistorius' defense team will not appeal the 6-year sentence, while the prosecution has not said if it plans to appeal. Oscar's brother, Carl Pistorius, later tweeted, "The record has been set straight and justice has been done. The truth will always prevail. Hashtag justice."
The sentence that I impose will have to reflect not only that fact, but also the seriousness of the offense. It will, insofar as it is possible, have to be fair to the accused as well as to the deceased family and society at large. Mr. Pistorius, please rise. In the result, the sentence that I impose on the accused for the murder dolus eventualis of the deceased, that is River Steenkamp, is 6 years imprisonment.
Women's rights advocates were extremely upset by the short sentence given to Oscar Pistorius following his retrial. They believe that Oscar Pistorius' sentence was short because he came from a place of privilege. 28-year-old former English soccer player Adam Johnson has been found guilty of 3 charges of sex with a child.
Johnson denied the charges against him for a year while continuing to play for Sunderland, which the court was told only added to his victim's psychological harm.
Johnson was also charged with possession of extreme pornography, believed to be a bestiality video, but faces no additional charges for possessing that video. First day of his trial, he pled guilty to 1 count of grooming and 1 count of kissing a schoolgirl. In this case, the girl he kissed was a 15-year-old he met online.
You know, this young lad who you thought had so much talent and a promising future, and he's just thrown it all away.
Johnson was found guilty by majority verdict of carrying out a sex act with a young girl. Johnson also insisted that the victim delete any messages on social media between the two in an attempt to hide his activity and prevent the victim from coming forward more easily.
We have to remember that sexual abuse is not about sex, it's about power.
Johnson's sister set up a Facebook page to support her brother, and fans used it to lash out at the underage girl. The victim was harassed for months leading up to the trial, and Johnson's denial only strengthened their claims that the girl was a liar. Johnson told a psychologist days before the sentencing he viewed the victim, quote, "like any of the other girls I met. I put age out of my mind. I was sexually interested, but she was just another girl, another opportunity. She was attractive enough, another one to get with," end quote.
Adam Johnson exploited a young, starstruck fan, actively grooming her over a number of months in a single-minded pursuit of his own sexual gratification. He gave no thought to this young girl's interests or welfare during that time, or at any point since, repeatedly denying any wrongdoing for nearly 11 months until his trial. We should all be clear there is only one victim in this case, and that is the 15-year-old girl that he sexually assaulted.
Johnson was sentenced to 6 years in prison for his actions. Johnson was also ordered to pay £50,000 for the cost of the prosecution. He plans to appeal. Johnson was also told he would have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life and undergo treatment for hypersexual disorder. Johnson was released by the English Premier League club Sunderland following his conviction. Former Baylor football player Sean Open was arrested after allegedly sexually assaulting a woman after leaving a nightclub in Waco, Texas. The arrest came 2 weeks before the NFL draft and likely led to Sean Open not being drafted. There are several incident reports dating back to 2013 that indicate Oakman has a pattern of violence towards women. Before arriving at Baylor, Oakman was dismissed from Penn State after being charged with a misdemeanor and fined for attempting to steal a sandwich. Oakman is the third Baylor player accused of sexual assault in the last 4 years. Both former Baylor players, Kevin Elliott and Sam Owuchu, were convicted of rape in separate trials in 2014. Baylor is currently facing a Title IX lawsuit regarding its handling of the Tevin Elliott case. Before the allegations of rape, Oakman's physique was a popular meme on the internet. Sean Oakman's case remains open.
Oakman is currently free on bond. He maintains he's innocent.
Rami Hammond, another Baylor football player, was arrested on August 1st and charged with third-degree felony stalking following an incident with his ex-girlfriend. Hammond's ex-girlfriend went to great lengths to avoid Hammond, including moving to another state. She also alleged he physically abused her in two separate incidents. Hammond had also faced a sexual assault charge after violating a no-contact order. A different girlfriend reported to Baylor's Title IX office that she had been sexually assaulted by Hammond, and he confronted her about being investigated for Title IX. The woman declined to press charges, believing that the Title IX office would pursue the matter. That was not the case. Hammond was released from jail on $5,000 bond. He is still enrolled at Baylor, but has been suspended from all team activities pending the resolution of, quote, the issue, according to the university. Rami Hammond's case remains open. On May 28, 2016, at approximately 3:20 a.m., New Orleans Pelicans guard Bryce DeJean Jones was shot to death in a Dallas apartment complex. Jones was visiting his girlfriend for his daughter's first birthday.
According to police, early this morning, DeJean Jones broke down the door to an apartment where someone was sleeping inside.
The resident retrieved a handgun and called out to the intruder, Jones, but Jones did not respond, and after kicking at a bedroom door, Jones was shot in the abdomen through the door and died at a local hospital. Jones was 23 and had signed a 2-year contract with New Orleans after playing on consecutive 10-day contracts and in the D-League. Under Texas law, a person is allowed to use deadly force to defend themselves in their home. No charges have been filed at this time, but Dallas PD is still investigating.
The NBA family mourns the tragic loss of New Orleans Pelicans guard Bryce DeJean Jones. Bryce inspired countless people with his hard work and perseverance on his journey to the NBA, and he had a bright future in our league. Our thoughts and sympathies are with Bryce's family and the entire Pelicans organization during this difficult time.
Former St. Louis Cardinals Director of Baseball Development Chris Correa will spend 46 months in federal prison.
Correa pled guilty to 5 counts of unauthorized access of a protected computer from 2013 to at least 2014. That was the same year he was promoted to Director of Baseball Development in St. Louis.
Correa used the login information of Jeff Lonehow, who left St. Louis for Houston. Lonehow was ordered to hand over his laptop to Correa, who then discovered Lonehow's weak password in order to gain access. After the Astros had reset all their passwords, Correa hacked an email account to retrieve new credentials. The FBI found that no other Cardinals executives participated in the hacking, and Correa was then fired by the Cardinals. Correa accessed 118 web pages containing rankings, evaluations, summaries, analytics information, and trade discussions with other teams. Correa attempted to apologize for his behavior in court before Judge Lynn N. Hughes stated Correa knew exactly what he'd been doing. Correa must also pay $279,038 in restitution, but the parties agreed that Correa's actions cost the Houston Astros around $1.7 million. 46 months may seem harsh, but he violated a federal law, the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, or CFAA. The CFAA carries a 5-year sentence for first-time offenders. Each count Correa pled guilty to could have been a separate 5-year sentence, or 25 years total. His 3-year sentence seems less harsh when put in that context. Correa is eligible for release after serving 85% of his sentence, or 39 months in prison. On January 21st, pro boxer Adrian Broner, nicknamed The Problem, allegedly assaulted and robbed a man at gunpoint outside Madison Bowl, a popular bowling alley in Cincinnati.
Hey, who is that bowl, bro?
Who is you? Bro,
rock it down. What the hell? Bro, I'm not. Bro, I'm not, bro. Bro, I'm getting you, bro. I'm getting you, bro. Bro.
Broner allegedly became enraged after losing $12,000 to the man on a series of high-stakes bowling bets. Broner allegedly held the man at gunpoint before knocking him out cold and going through the man's pockets, taking the money back he'd just lost. The man sued Broner over the incident but has dropped the charges, according to TMZ Sports. Broner's attorneys declined to comment when asked if a deal had been reached. Broner wound up going to jail anyway, though, due to contempt of court. Broner showed up 3 hours late to his own trial for assault and robbery relating to the bowling alley. Broner told the judge somebody had slipped something in his drink, but the judge said he appeared hungover. Before his late arrival, the judge was considering dismissing the case. Broner will serve 30 days in jail. And on top of that, Broner is still facing criminal charges including felonious assault and aggravated robbery. Dallas Cowboys rookie running back Ezekiel Elliott is facing domestic violence allegations from his ex-girlfriend, Tiffany Thompson. Thompson posted photos of bruises on her body to Instagram and tagged Elliott. Elliott said that he would not comment on any legal matters, but would love to talk about football when questioned. Elliott was not arrested. Four witnesses told police that they did not see Elliott do anything. Thompson deleted the photos after the police investigated, and Elliott tweeted, "Evil never prevails," shortly afterwards. The Columbus Prosecutor's Office is still treating this as an open case for now. Thank you for listening to First and Felony. Please rate and review on iTunes and subscribe when you can. We're available on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, and SoundCloud, and through my website, ffpod.net. Every little bit helps, and make sure to join the conversation on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for further updates. You can email the show anytime at firstandfelony@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.